So welcome to the Intern Whisperer. Our show is all about the future of work and innovation. And today's guest is Dr. Dan Pavlik, Jr. from Pavlik Center for Health and Wellness. He has specialized training in whiplash trauma. That's how I met him, because I had that. From the Spine Research Institute of San Diego, as well as postdoctoral training in chiropractic management of sports injuries. Dr. Dan has treated many local professional sports leaders, and I know he can't say which ones, here in Orlando, Florida, as well as working with local youth sports players. He has followed in his father's footsteps for this career, and they share this business together. So he's going to, I'm sure, talk about his dad. So welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
I'm very excited. I got to meet you because I also was in a car accident, and then I was working with Dr. J, and he went on vacay, and then I got to meet you. So
yeah.
He'll come in. It'll be a Saturday. He says he has to come in on a Saturday.
I can't wait to hear that. I'd love to hear him on the mic too.
Yeah. You can go back and tell him good stuff. So we always kick the show off with, tell us about yourself using only 5 words. And you chose a phrase to describe you that also had some tension to it. So I'm interested in it.
I'm laid back and born to heal.
So what do you mean by laid back and then born to heal? Because you also had said driven. And I think that those are synonymous words.
Yes, correct. I just figured born was a little bit better than driven, but
I like that.
I do feel like I'm doing what I was meant to do.
Mm-hmm.
And laid back is just how I've always been my entire life. I'm actually a Libra, so I'm just kind of even keel, and I just kind of go with the flow. I don't try to get myself, you know, too flustered in one direction or the other. I've been a fisherman my whole life. I do a lot of offshore fishing, and that's another way. It just teaches you a lot of patience. And it just kind of, everybody always asks, they're like, you're always so calm. I'm like, yeah, just, that's how I've always been.
Mm-hmm.
It's an easy way to live.
Yeah. Tell me, what date in October?
October 15th.
October 8th on my side.
All right.
Yeah. So we're the same. Yay.
I like it.
Yeah. Very cool. All right. So when you say, you know, I know that there's some metaphors going in there, born to heal, and that fisherman, I'm pretty sure, I know we talked a little bit off camera here about faith, but I'm sure that ties into some of your faith too. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Big Christian my whole life.
And yeah.
A big believer in Jesus.
Yeah, so. I am too. So I usually will front load Jesus girl with a potty mouth. So sometimes those bad words come out, but it gives me grace from those that go, oh, well, you're okay then.
Well, we're human, you know, we sin, and, you know, hopefully we can learn from our mistakes.
That is very true. So go ahead and share a little bit about your educational background, the industry of what you're in, alternative health and holistic health. And then also how you got to where you are now. Our listeners love hearing these stories.
So I grew up in Apopka, went to Apopka High School when I was in the health medical career magnet program. And then I went to UCF after I graduated from high school. Graduated from UCF in 2001 and made the decision to go to chiropractic school. And I started in 02. I started in 01 into 01, and then I graduated from chiropractic school up in Minnesota, Bloomington, Minnesota, just outside of Minneapolis, a school called Northwestern Health Sciences University. Great chiropractic college, and graduated from there in 2005. And during all that time, I've grown up my entire life with chiropractic. So my father was a chiropractor in 1980, started the practice here in downtown Orlando. And it's what, you know, drove me in that direction, just because he was an unbelievable physician, you know, obviously in the alternative care world, but just unbelievable how good of a teacher and good of a physician and good of a caretaker he was for his patients.
Mm. You know? Does he still practice?
He doesn't physically see patients anymore, but he still does some consulting work and still works in the office. He still shows up every day, pretty much. And He finally leaves me alone after 18 years, but he used to just rag on me all the time.
Oh.
But nonetheless, it's the reason I went through all that schooling and I just stuck with it. And when I graduated in 2005, I was, 26 years old. So I practiced with him for 3 years, and then he retired from physical practice in 2010, which he was 30 years in at that time. He was kind of beat up. So I continued on, saw a lot of his patients, which was an interesting transition because you figure you had all these patients that saw this guy for 30 years. And I had this conversation today with a patient. They were like, you know, I guess we're going to have to see the kid. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I got that judgment early on when I was a young doctor, the son of the guy who started the place in 1980, and just kind of, you know, built it up over time. And we still see a lot of those patients over the last, you know, 30, 40 years. I still, you know, maintain the chiropractic management to a lot of these patients.
So, yeah.
But it's really cool. Here we are, you know, now today I'm 18, almost 19 years in.
Mm-hmm.
So I love it.
Yeah. One of my friends from down at OMG Labs had told me about Dr. J, and that's how I ended up at your place. And he is also a chiropractor.
He is. Funny story. He worked with my sister at ORMC.
Oh,
my
really?
Sister was a LPN there, and she worked in the ER, and Jay was a tech, one of the nurse's assistants or whatever. And he was exploring his options. And my sister introduced us. Dr. J started coming in when he was still at UCF,
mm-hmm.
and shadowing me one day a week on Tuesdays,
wow.
just on his own time, found a lot of interest in it. I worked on him. He had never had it done before, chiropractic treatment. And it created a lot of relief for him. And it just kind of opened his eyes. And he ended up going to Palmer and followed, you know, came and joined us in practice. So Jay is like my right-hand guy. I think he's great yeah. person, great doctor.
He is, yeah. Palmer College is a really good college also in alternative health.
And I think their first class was like in 2004.
Wow.
I started school just before that. So nonetheless, I went to Minnesota because my wife's family was up there, even though her and I met here. We got married, moved up there, lived in Minnesota, which I don't regret at all. I loved it. It was a great change because I'm a Florida boy my whole life. But I just missed the opening of Palmer, which would have been a little bit more convenient.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, things happen for a reason. So
yeah. It's pretty cold up there, I imagine.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, pretty cold. Not Indiana. You said Indiana, yeah, right?
Minneapolis.
I know, Minneapolis. Yeah, I heard that one. But you were born in Indiana?
I was actually born in Iowa.
Iowa.
And my dad was getting ready to graduate from Davenport, which was Palmer's main campus. It still is. It's like the fountainhead of chiropractic schools. I was born there. I was 6 months old, I think, when he made the decision to come to Orlando.
Oh. Well, you're happy here. That's yeah, for sure.
Born there, but raised here.
Mm-hmm. You almost could have been full Floridian. I think that it really counts, though, honestly. You've spent so many years yeah. here. You're
I was less than 1 year old. So, yeah. I mean, everybody's like, you're right. Yeah, I grew up in my whole life. So.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. Yeah. So you told us a little bit. Let's talk about what Palmer does. I mean, not Palmer, but what your business does, Pavlik. Yeah. What is it? What are the services that you guys provide?
So we have, including myself, we have four chiropractors. We have an acupuncture doctor who is also a licensed chiropractor and has, you know, 25 years of acupuncture in conjunction with the chiropractic care. So we have him, but he only provides the acupuncture services in our office. We have massage therapists, and we have a exercise physiologist that actually will be going to physical therapy school here this summer. And he does a lot of our stretching and our strength training.
Mm-hmm. I've experienced all of these things that you've described, and they've been phenomenal.
We also do a little bit of nutritional work. I'd like to have somebody at some point maybe to do that, but we as doctors, as chiropractors, you know, we learn that through school as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely one of the major aspects of alternative care as well.
So when people come in there into there's a perception, I would say, about what is alternative holistic care versus Western care. And I know you're going to tie it into what you guys do too. So
it's basically what we're doing, basically our treatment. And it's not just musculoskeletal, but, you know, obviously chiropractors, massage therapists, physical therapists, we're stereotyped to musculoskeletal pain, but we treat people without the use of pharmacologics, medication. Mm-hmm. So we are trying to find the root of the problem and fix the root of the problem as best we can without invasive procedures, without surgery, without injections, without medication. Not that there's not a time and a place for that stuff. There absolutely mm-hmm. is. And we also have a medical provider in our office that we work, you know, hand in hand with. So it's technically an integrated clinic mm-hmm. with medical and the alternative side. But there's a time and a place for that medication. But as time goes on, the people that tend to come into our office are looking for more of the non-medicinal approach mm-hmm. to treating their musculoskeletal pain. So that's what we believe in, you know, from a standpoint of just, you know, that's traditional, like holistic care. You know, you're trying to treat things naturally. Mm-hmm. And the stereotypes towards chiropractors, obviously, you know, the number one that's always been there forever and ever is we're not a medical doctor, so we don't necessarily know what we're doing. However, our education, you know, is very similar to that of a medical doctor. So we just focus more on, once again, musculoskeletal treatment alternatives. But that's the number one stereotype. Number two, obviously, which is different now because of videos, Instagram, TikTok, all that stuff, is, you know, the popping of the spine and, oh, yeah, you're just cracking my back, you're breaking bones and this and that. And technically, when you do an adjustment to the spine, you're just moving the joints. Mm-hmm. So that popping you feel is gas that's releasing from these capsules that are joints.
So if people form the spine. Go and crack their knuckles. That's
air. That's gas coming out of the fluid that, you know, because all of our joints have fluid. That's how they move. So, you know, the muscles move us, but the fluid is what, you know, it's like WD-40, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's what allows us to move. What do you do when you have a rusty door hinge? You spray WD-40 in there and you move it a little bit. It's not squeaking anymore. So without the fluid in our body, that's why dehydration plays such a big role, you know, on the muscles and the joints. If you dehydrate yourself, I mean, it's going to play a role on your joints as time goes on. So anyways, the gas is released when you pop or crack, or, you know, whether it's on your own or by a chiropractor. I mean, that's kind of a natural thing for the body to do. We just do it as specific as we possibly can. If there's inflammation in a certain area, like in your neck, when you get a whiplash injury, we want to target where that inflammation is coming from, and we want to try to relieve that pressure so that the stress comes off of that area. The muscles won't have to guard it as much. Mm-hmm. So what happens? You have a crick in your neck, you know, technically the term crick in your neck, you have a stiff neck, whatever. I hear it all, but you can't turn your head very well one direction, right? Well, people are like, is that my muscle doing that? Is that my joint doing that? Is that my disc? Is it bone on bone? It's like, it's the joint gets inflammation. It's just like when a knuckle gets swollen in your finger, right? You can't bend it very well. So when that happens in your neck at one of the segments, guess what your muscles do? They seize up. Mm-hmm. So they don't want that motion. Think of the old theory of how to treat back pain way back in the day, is like, here, take some of these anti-inflammatories and just go lay on your back for a week and you'll be fine.
Yeah.
Well, that's not the mentality of people anymore. It's like, we have to fix this problem so that I can keep doing what I need to do, mm-hmm. making a living. So, you know, with the adjustment, with the chiropractic treatment, you know, you're helping speed up that healing process a little bit better. You're calming down the musculoskeletal system and getting that person back to 100%.
Hmm.
And then the modalities that we do in the office basically go hand in hand. So you get the person better. They can go into stretching. They can go into exercise training of specific ways to strengthen the muscles of the back, the postural muscles, the core muscles, all that stuff. Stretching is like brushing, and I'll talk about this here in a little bit where I got this analogy from, but stretching is like brushing your teeth. You should be doing it every day, no matter what. But what motivates people to stretch? Pain.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, I tried to stretch it out. I was hurting. Well, you should have been stretching already. And then you got the massage therapy aspect, and there's different aspects of massage. You've got, you know, your hands-on, different types of massage. There's lighter massage, deep tissue massage. You've got cupping. You've got what's called Graston, which is like a scraping technique to break up scar tissue. Yeah, you can do all these things.
But let's go back to cupping, because some of my listeners will not know that. And I know that I had that treated also. And I went, wow, because I could feel, well, I know you'll explain it, but the way that one of your technicians had said is, you know, we've got to be able to pull the blood through the muscles to be able to get them to, you know, kind of not be so hard, like correct. A brick.
You know, we try to keep things in simple terms so people understand it. It's got to make sense. But this, not trying to be disgusting at all, but it's like a hickey, right?
Yeah.
What happens? The blood comes to the surface. It creates a red mark or what looks like a bruise. Well, the suction of the cups, and there's a few ways to do cupping. There's suction, just pure suction, just pulling the air out, and it pulls the skin up into the cups, and the cups just hold on right in that area.
Mm-hmm.
You find the spots where the trigger points are, which are just basically built up areas of lactic acid and what I call stagnant blood. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just not circulating well because it's always tight. Classic, right up in your shoulders. When you shrug your shoulders, everybody's always rubbing that area, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's a classic area that'll build up. So we put the cups on that area. There's another way to do it, which we don't do it this way, but traditional acupuncturists, like Oriental medicine specialists, will do it this way, is they use glass cups and fire. They heat up the cups, and then the heat pulls the skin into the cups.
Wow.
So it's the same theory. It's just different presentation and, you know, possibly a little bit different outcome either way, but, you know, both ways get good outcomes, but it's pulling the blood out of the, not, and I got to make this sound as simple as I can, but it's just trying to draw some of that stagnant blood out of that deep muscle tissue.
Mm-hmm.
But the blood doesn't come out of the skin. It comes to the surface and it creates that red mark. In my case, when Dr. J does it to me, they get purple, as purple as this.
Wow. Knot
right here. I mean, some people just get redness. I mean, in me, it looks like a true bruise. So some people will get like that, but I go kind of intense, and you got to gauge the person of what they can tolerate, but I love it. It relieves my tension. It's a 10 to 15 minute. We leave the cups on. You just lay there. Some people fall asleep. You know, it's obviously the idea is to relax and breathe and try to get the body to calm down a little bit while this is happening. And it creates great results in my
opinion. Oh yeah. I noticed that, like, you know, it was a couple days after I had been like stretched. And then I also had the cupping with the trigger points, and I went, is this what a normal back is supposed to feel like?
Yeah,
I carry a lot of stress.
Ideally. I mean, the thing is though, is you gotta, like, other stereotypes is like, well, do I have to get adjusted all the time once I see a chiropractor? And the answer is no, but ideally, if it helps you, why wouldn't you not want to do that every once in a while? It's not doing any harm to your body.
No.
So at least in the experience that I've had over 44 years, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But everybody's different. You got to treat everybody different. And, you know, that's how you have to approach, you know, technically any type of medicine or, you know, anything in our world, but everybody is different. So you have to take every individual person and determine what it is that you can and can't do with them.
Mm-hmm.
And oh, by the way, you need, you know, we like to take x-rays. We like to look at the images, the MRI and the x-ray images, to understand what that person is dealing with, because the body ages and it gets wear and tear over time. We need to see what the extent of that is so that we can help you feel better consistently.
Yeah. I know that I've gone to a chiropractor before and I always had good results, but I've gone and had deep tissue massage and out of all of the things. And then I was also experiencing stretching. I think stretching was the best thing because I would walk out of there and I would go, man, I feel like I'm like, you know, I'm 5'2", but I could say, I feel like I'm like a ballerina. I'm so nice and straight and my posture was good and everything. I was amazing.
Well, ideally, the physical therapy, you know, stretching aspect has always been a hand-in-hand service with chiropractic care. You know, the worlds collide a little bit because you get personality and ego issues when from one provider to the other. But when you everybody works in the same office, we all work together.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a true complement to an adjustment. You get the joint mobility better. You got to work on the muscle.
Mm-hmm.
So you start stretching that muscle and people are like, oh, I can stretch on my own. And then they do the stretching.
Mm-hmm.
And it's why, you know, places like Stretch Lab and those type of places have become so popular because people are shocked at how good they feel when they get somebody to stretch them out.
Exactly. Yeah. And I have gone to Stretch Lab and I can tell you, it was like, I said, I don't want to go to a gym until I know that I am actually more mobile.
Correct.
And I could feel like I could successfully touch my toes and things like that.
That's what I tell people. I mean, everybody, and I'm speaking for my clinic, everybody works together and they see the same issues. We just approach it different, right? So like, they're like, well, I think I want to see one of your massage therapists. And I said, well, massage therapists are good, but they're going to see everything we see when we say, I want you to see this person or that person. I want you to see Derek for stretching. You know, they see all the same problems. So we all have the same goal of helping that person, but we all understand that person as well, equally. So the results, you know, knock on wood, tend to be pretty good.
Yeah. So, are there any other myths that are out there about chiropractic care?
Oh, there's a lot. You know, the biggest one is just, you know, having to be adjusted all the time.
You mentioned
getting injuries. I mean, you can create strain or stress on a spine if you're too aggressive with a person. But once again, that's, you have to know everything you can about this person, you know, bone density, degeneration, you know, what can we move? What shouldn't we move? But, you know, a lot of people go to a chiropractor and it's funny. If you go to a good chiropractor, you tell a person. If you go to a bad chiropractor, you tell everybody.
Yeah.
So like, therefore, the stigmas of, oh, don't go to a chiropractor, they'll hurt you.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's physical in nature.
Yeah, it
is. So there's been people that, you know, but I have to be aware of, okay, if I aggravated something in this person, I gotta fix it.
You know,
I got to get them better. I got to direct them in the right direction. So I don't hide from that. I don't run from it. You know, it's a challenge. Everything can be a challenge. But you just have to address each individual person, their concerns. There's all kinds of concerns out there about chiropractic. But I try to address it as best I can to the person and say, look, let's give it a try. Let's see what you think.
I would imagine some people think, gosh, it looks like you're going to twist their head off.
Yeah. They watch the old movies, right? Yeah. Breaking necks and this one little kid, 6-year-old kid, never forget this, treat his parents. He comes in, he watches, he loves it. He loves the table and playing with gadgets and stuff. And he started telling people, they're like, well, what do you want to be? You know, and this was not in the office. This was like at a school or something. And he's like, I want to be a chiropractor guy. And they're like, oh, why you want to do that? He's like, because I want to snap necks and cash checks. And I'm like, it's like the funniest thing I've ever heard a kid say, but that's obviously a stereotype. You're just snapping people's necks. You're going to break and, you know, but once again, it's about knowing the person. It's about controlling what you do from the treatment aspect. It's, you know, you got to know your parameters and that's the stuff we learn in school. I mean, we work on each other and, you know, we are very cautious, very, very nervous and cautious in the beginning. And then you build that confidence up once you start working on people.
Mm-hmm.
And you get people that are braver than others that are like, ah, just go do whatever you got to do. And then you got other people that are like, you're kind of young. I don't know if I want you to mess with me. But, you know, there's all kinds of stuff. But, yeah, they watched movies all the time and say, man, you're just doing what that guy's doing. I'm like, well, technically I'm not, but I get it. It looks like it.
So. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But yeah, so those are kind of all the things we have to work through all the time.
I've seen people do chiropractic care on dogs and, you know, animals, but dogs in particular. There's a lot of that right now on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And I went, is that a thing? I don't know.
Well, you know, it wasn't credentialed in any state, but like Wisconsin and another state when I was in school, like you could only go to Wisconsin to be a chiropractic, you know, veterinarian or whatever, you know, animal chiropractor.
Yeah.
And, but now it's good to do in all states because people take all their animals. I mean, horses and a lot of horses, people spend a lot of money on their horses and they will do whatever it takes to keep those horses 100%. But dogs are very popular. Cats are popular
because yeah. they're easy. Cats, it would feel like I'd break them.
No, I mean, you know, they're all,
there's like the spaghetti.
Bone,
anyway.
The bone structure is set up the same. It just seems like that, but. A dog is just stronger, more muscular. Yeah. Cats are just more flexible.
Yeah.
Very. But man, there's a guy on Instagram or whatever that I don't know where he is. He might be in another country, but he is unbelievable at adjusting a dog. I mean, it blows me away. It's pretty amazing. He's just very good at what he does. And it's cool. So yeah, I mean, it can be done. Yeah,
and people will pay for that.
With a backbone, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, people, I had a patient one time that brought his daughter in. She was a horse rider and she was very competitive. Well, the horse fell one day jumping over something and she crashed with it. And she was complaining about certain things, but the horse wasn't right. So the parents took the horse to the vet. They took it to the chiropractor. They're getting adjusted all the time. They're spending all this money on treatment as the younger lady was complaining about back pain. And he said, you know, I'm spending all this money on my horse. I may need to pay attention to my daughter. So he finally brought her in to see me. So
crazy.
It's just kind of funny.
It is funny. It absolutely is funny. So when we talk about anything else in that holistic or the Western side of medicine, personally, I feel like I was surprised. I read everything in your offices. And in your offices, you guys have, you know, a body with just the bones and then a body with the muscles and then the body with the, I guess,
nervous system.
Nervous system. Yeah. That was it.
So the nervous system is encased and protected by the bone structure. And then the muscles attach to the outside of the bone structure because the muscles are what move us.
Mm-hmm.
But they all three play a huge role in what it is that we do because people get pinched nerves all the time. And that pinched nerve comes from a structural issue, could be structural, could be soft tissue, both of which we can try to work on.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, those are the three main systems that we focus on. And that nervous system is tied to absolutely everything that functions in our body. The brain is the main computer. And it has all its nerve branches that tell everything what to do. It tells the heart to beat, tells the stomach to digest. It tells the glands to release hormones. It's unbelievable what our body does.
Right.
And it's all
it's incredible. Yeah, I totally get it. So I feel like when people come into the office and they see that, you know, they can see, oh, wow, there's a lot that's going on here. But I remember reading on like a lot of insurances don't cover this. Any type of care. So,
well, insurance is tricky. Like we've always been on the health insurance panels and they've covered chiropractic for a long time. We fall under the specialist copay and whether it's a deductible or a copay, but we accept most insurances. It's just insurances only pay for certain things that a chiropractor does.
Mm-hmm.
For example, Medicare. They only pay for the manipulation. They don't even pay for the initial office visit. They're like, we just pay for the manipulation. It's like, so what am I supposed to do? Just walk in on the pay, not ask them any questions and just adjust them, you know?
Yeah.
You know, so we have to do an exam, an initial exam, which takes time. We do x-rays. Medicare doesn't pay for that because only the PCP can order the x-rays on a Medicare patient.
Right.
But everything to a Medicare patient outside of the manipulation, outside of the adjustment, is out of pocket to a Medicare patient. But United Healthcare, Blue Cross or Florida Blue, Cigna, Aetna, they pay for the majority of the things we do in our office, minus acupuncture and massage. Massage and acupuncture are just straight. They used to, they never paid for acupuncture, but they really lowball an acupuncturist. I mean, it's not even worth it. Like, it's crazy.
Do they do cupping?
Yeah, it falls. Well, not defined as that. If the doctor does the cupping, which I do, then it falls under myofascial release. You know, we can bill it because we're licensed and credentialed with those insurance companies. But the massage therapists, if they're not credentialed, they won't pay for it, which they're credentialed through me. But all the insurance companies make us jump through all these hoops and all this paperwork, and it bogs you down.
Yeah.
So would you rather spend your time seeing patients, or would you rather spend your time doing all this paperwork? And everybody's going to say seeing patients. So therefore, certain things just aren't covered because it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, it has been a covered, chiropractic manipulation has been a covered service for quite a long time.
That's really, that's good to hear too, because, you know, sometimes things that fall into preventative care or even maintenance, if it's not a drug, then...
Yeah,
you know, it's like, why?
It's very interesting. Like, and the new thing is regenerative care that some doctors are doing. They don't cover that either. But what are you trying to do? You're trying to make the person healthier for the future. You're trying, you know, it just doesn't, it's, I heard the other day on a video, on a seminar I was watching, it's healthcare, you know, like insurance, you look at it as it's not really healthy care. Like, what we're trying to do is considered healthy care, but they only allow so much of it. But then on the other side is the crisis management of all these problems.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you look at all the, you know, like the obesity crisis and all these things that link other issues together. That's, you know, it's a lot of it's crisis care. It's not technically health care, right? Not healthy care.
Yeah.
And that's what we want to focus on is trying to keep people healthier. And I feel like the younger generation looks into that much more. They want to take care of themselves a little bit better.
So we were talking about, there were five areas that you had mentioned, services that are really popular in this area.
Alternative world. Yeah.
Yeah. So what are those five most popular services?
Well, you've got the chiropractic aspect, you've got the physical therapy aspect, you've got the therapeutic massage or massage therapy aspect, you've got the acupuncture, and then you've got the nutrition. Those are kind of the five main categories. I mean, psychological as well.
Mm-hmm.
We don't do that per se in our office.
Right.
So technically there's six, but yeah, you have to look at all those different ways to try to help and treat people. But nutrition gets forgotten about.
So when you say nutrition, is that food or is it supplements? Because
both.
I have seen so much better, I guess I feel better with supplements, and some people are on the fence with it. You know, they can say, oh, it'll take 4 to 6 weeks for it to kick in. I would think that's true to get
the body has to develop the receptors for it. It's not as potent as what medication does. It doesn't just adapt right away. The body, it's different. You know, the medication side, the body right away, boom, it takes an effect. But the longer you're on it, right, technically the more the body might not react as well to it, or it might have other side effects to it.
Mm-hmm.
Opposite of nutrition. The longer you're on it, the more of a positive effect it can have on the body. It just takes the body time sometimes to recognize that because it's not as potent. But when it comes to nutrition, once again, nutraceuticals, vitamins.
What is nutraceuticals?
Vitamins.
Okay.
So the nutraceutical world is your vitamin world, right?
Okay.
And there's 1,000 different types of vitamins, right? To try to treat different problems. However, you want to buy quality vitamins. In this world, you pay for what you get.
Mm-hmm.
If you order $8 multivitamin, you know, that's a month or 2 month supply. I mean, you know, I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole, but it's like, you're paying for what you get.
Right.
So like, you just have to know where your vitamin is coming from. So like in the chiropractic world, like not only chiropractors, but nutritionists, chiropractors, acupuncturists, they all source it from, you know, good places, good sources. So, you know, where there's research driven behind it and everything. So, But yeah, vitamins, excellent. And then diet as well. Diet plays a huge role. What we put in our body. There's so many processed things out there now. There's so many chemicals and it's hurting us. It's definitely having a negative effect. I mean, look at all the stuff that's going on, all the disease and right. cancer and, you know, look at where our food has, you know, it used to be, there were a lot more farms and natural foods coming. Now it's processed for the masses.
Yeah.
And you got to be careful what you buy. And one of the things that really confuses me is I get it, but I don't. Organic food is healthier for you. It's better for you. Why is it more expensive? Why don't they make it more affordable to make people more healthy? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Monsanto. I'm going to throw them out there. I'll throw them under the bus. I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah.
You know, their fertilizer, it's not healthy. It's not good for us.
Yeah, and nobody thinks about that. Like, it's just crazy. It's every aspect of where we get our food, you just can't. I mean, I love Publix, right? But I don't know where half their stuff comes from or where it's processed or, you know, it's.
So you go to farmers markets?
I do.
I do too.
Yeah. I like, there's a place near me called Freshfield Farms and, you know, it's all good quality meats and vegetables and, you know, farmers markets, you know, you locally sourced foods, mm-hmm. but once again, you gotta look for it. You gotta search for it. It's not easy. You know what I mean? It's not like
surprisingly, you can find a lot of that at Aldi. Yeah. I am so surprised. Trader Joe's, you know, Trader Joe's is pretty inexpensive, but Aldi is like a secret that people don't always know about.
Yeah, I agree 100%. You know, the Aldi's up north, I told you my wife has family in Minnesota. They look like Publix on the inside. It's crazy how nice they are. It's unbelievable. And you go to some of them around here and they're
In with your own boxes and bags and everything.
There's a few skeptical areas that Aldi's in. It's like they're making it difficult for us to get there. But, you know, we went to one up there. I was like, oh, my gosh, look at this place. And they're like, oh, yeah, this is our main place we go.
Yeah.
But Publix rules the market down here, man.
Oh, it does.
Big time. They Southeast, do. Like Georgia, Florida is, I think, into South Carolina or Alabama. But it's Publix is just. You don't want to mess with
it. No. It's so funny. But it is a very good experience to go into Publix. It always
absolutely. Feels really they know what they're doing. Yeah.
Whole Foods is nice. Trader Joe's is my favorite. I like to go there.
I do too. I love all those places.
Fresh Market. I'll throw Fresh Market out there too.
Definitely.
Super nice. Super nice to go to also. So who is your favorite thought leader and why?
My dad, for sure. My dad is... just he has some of the best analogies and thoughts. So like it's kind of like when I need mental rehab, mm-hmm. I just talk to him. He calms me down. When I get stressed out, he analyzes things from a whole different perspective. And you know, his biggest thing is, you know, don't act or don't react, you know, act. He's like, think about it. Calm yourself down, you know, try to figure out how we're going to turn, you know,
turn lemons into
lemonade, right? But he's always got an analogy for everything. Like I told you, the brushing your teeth, mm-hmm. stretching is like brushing your teeth. That's where that came from. Change is the only constant in life is change.
He
was telling somebody that. So, I mean, all these different things. And he just, that's how I learned and understood chiropractic before I went to school. I knew what it was doing because of how he explained it to people. Mm. So his mind is amazing. I feel like he's got like a photographic memory. So it's always like you can ask him questions about all kinds of different things. And he typically has a pretty stout answer for it. So it's like, dang. But I know, like, he's a speed reader and all that stuff. So we used to go on plane rides when I was a kid, and he would read a book, like, basically on the plane ride.
Whoa.
Like, he's that fat. Like, so, I mean, he's learned a lot over the years. He's experienced a lot. He's been through a lot of ups and downs. So he's just a good person to bend the ear and get advice from. So I've learned a lot from him.
Very nice. Well, we're going to take a moment to acknowledge our sponsor, and we'll be right back.
The Intern Whisperer is brought to you by Cat 5 Studios, who help you create games and videos for your training and marketing needs that are out of this world. Visit Cat 5 Studios for more information to learn how Cat 5 Studios can help your business. Thank you, Cat 5 Studios.
Now, in the second half of the show, we always talk about the future of jobs, industries, and what will the world look like in 2030. So do you have an opinion? What do you think? George Jetson, are we flying?
Nah. The technology will continue to improve, but yeah, I don't think we're in the back to the future stage of flying cars and jets and all that.
They actually have some out there. I've seen them.
Yeah,
they can't turn. They're not very, very, what's the word? Easy to navigate. They can only go like one direction and kind of very squared.
It's kind of funny because the electric cars were being talked about, what, 30 years ago, yeah, probably. And now we're here. We're there. So, yeah, maybe 30 years from now. I don't know. But
well, don't you think we could have had it back then? But it's like that disrupts jobs, that disrupts the oil industry, everything that we're used to that we've already done. Yeah. So it's like it when we make one kind of a big change like that, which it was totally doable. You know, I don't know if a lot of people sit there in our, you know, political offices, wherever, and if they're going, well, if we do this, what is the impact on everything else that we do?
Oh, absolutely.
Like jobs.
I absolutely think that. And it all comes down to the number one driver is money.
Yeah.
Money for them. And then what's going to make them look better in the eyes of the people. Mm-hmm. So if you, yeah, if you take away a lot of stuff from them, then yeah, they're not voting mm-hmm. for you. But it's the number one driver is money. But yeah, they have to analyze that stuff and what effect it's going to have on people.
Mm-hmm.
So now
2030 is not that far. I mean, if we don't count this year and we don't count 2030, it's basically 5 years. Nobody saw COVID coming, right? And overnight, our world changed.
Yeah, it did.
So we could have anything that could happen between now. And AI was the thing that came right after COVID 2 years later. It's like, oh my gosh, AI, you know, we have to pay attention. And yeah, we do. There was this October 8th, it was my birthday. Jeffrey Hinton, the creator of AI, who also worked for Google, he's called the godfather of it. He created and said, I wish I had never done this because it could go against us.
Yeah, it's going to align. Well, you know, when you think about, there's been movies made about, you know, robots and
Terminator.
AI. Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, a lot of other different movies in the eyes of, you know, those creators. But I agree. Yeah, man, it's positive, negative, probably a little bit more negative than it is positive, because yes, it's going to take away. It's going to take away from people. And what are those people going to do?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's, we have a hard enough time, you know, finding enough jobs for people as it is. And it's like, okay, now you throw this into the mix. Now what? What are they going to do? So
it's just, this is what I usually say, is just because we can, it doesn't mean we should.
Correct.
You know, because not everybody is going to be a programmer. Not everybody is, has the capability that they can do that. We have people with disabilities, mental, emotional, all kinds of disabilities. If they can't do those jobs, then what happens to them? I like seeing the person in at the McDonald's that smiles and says hello. And there's McDonald's that do not have people in them now.
Correct.
You just go in there.
I noticed that probably a year ago when the McDonald's near us had a big grand opening and we knew the owner of it. So we went by and saw how cool the screens are and the touch screens. And I'm like, hey, that just took away a few jobs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, convenience, yes, but people like to see people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
we're made for relationships.
Absolutely. It keeps us, you know, it keeps our minds sane.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I don't know. I'm not like skeptical about it per se, but,
So you don't think that anything in AI or robots or anything could take away the role of a chiropractor?
I don't think so, because of the fact that I just don't think a robot's going to be able to do what we do. I mean, they don't understand pain and emotion and all that kind of stuff that we have to recognize when we are working on somebody. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not necessarily, you can set, like, let's say a robot is trying to adjust the patient and you can set the tension, but what if the tension's too much, mm-hmm. you know, and you're hurting people? What if the tension's not heavy enough? And so are they going to be able to feel that? Mm-hmm. You know, that's, to me, a human being, hands-on, whether, yeah, you could have a massage or a robot massage you. I mean, we kind of have that now. People have it in their chairs, but it's not nearly the same. I mean, I just don't know how that type of stuff is going to be set up. Same thing, like you have these TVs that you can, that have the person inside of them, the AI inside of them that teaches you these specific exercises, but that's not for everybody. Some people need a person there telling you exactly what you're doing, right? Oh no, you're doing this, you're doing that. Is a robot going to be able to tell you that? And then, you know, from a standpoint of one of the things it could help us with is when it comes to like the therapeutic modalities, muscle stim and laser, you've heard all about cold laser and class 4 lasers and that type of stuff. Yeah, maybe you can set the machine up to where it's like a robot where it has this arm, you plug in the thing and the person just lays on the table and it goes, you know, the arm comes over and it just does the treatment in the area. Yeah, it could do that. But as far as the perception of depth and, you know, pain that the person feels, I mean, I just don't see that taking the place of what it is that we do best. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, I just sit here and I go, I don't think that every job should be replaced.
It shouldn't.
Because it goes back to the movie WALL-E, you know?
Yeah.
The little robot. Yeah. Everybody, the little dumpling people sitting in the chairs. Yeah. Like, you know, it's not good.
But then where does that leave us as human beings?
What are we going to do?
Exactly. I mean, we got to keep ourselves busy. We got to do stuff. Yeah. We got to make money. We got to survive. Like, it's going to create chaos.
Mm-hmm. So it kind of goes back to, I'll use this analogy, dogs. Dogs were working animals, and most animals like to, they need mental stimulation also. And so when you teach them how to do things, then they can, they're there to serve, right? They are there. Some animals pick it up easier than others. I don't think cats, I have no hope for cats. I don't think they do anything, but maybe there's a cat out there that does stuff. I don't know.
They're kind of made to be lazy.
I think so. Pretty sure. But, you know, people, we're also, you know, working people. And we also, like you said, have to have mental stimulation, that that creativity also is in us. So we could always be somebody that is solving those kind of problems, but we should also be the same kind of people that are going, yeah, but I don't think that's a good idea because, you know, then who's going to be teaching? I don't need to have a robot teaching me. I need to have a human teaching me how to be human.
Correct.
Yeah.
100%. And it goes for everything. When I go to Home Depot, I want the help from a person, not as like, yeah, I can look on my phone and see what aisle something in, but I'd rather have the opinion of the guy mm-hmm. that does this every day that says, you know, what screw should I use if I'm working on my deck or what should I do this? You know, a robot probably could give you some weird, you know, some long technical answer, but I don't know. That's not the good feel for me. I like speaking to people.
Mm-hmm.
When I go to a restaurant, I want a server. I want to talk to the server. I want to say, hey, how you doing? You know, how's your day going? That's how I am. I like to talk to people.
Yeah.
But yeah, absolutely. I mean, there'll be people against it too. But the question is how far is it going to go? Cause right now you can write a paper. Did you hear about what they're doing in schools now? Because the AI you can put things into some of these programs. Dr. J told me this. He said, you can put keywords into this specific program. It's an app and it'll write a paper for you. It'll create a paper. So now in the public schools, they have another system that has to combat that has to make sure that this kid didn't write the paper.
It's not a plagiarism. Yeah. It's not, you know, it's like they really did it.
So there you go. You're catch 22. It's like, okay, we've created this technology, but now we got to combat the technology.
Yeah. I know when I work with a lot of international students and they'll send something to me. I go, okay, but you didn't write this, right? And they said, no. And they said, how did I know? And I said, well, first off, you do not use that vocabulary. I've never heard you say any of these words, and because that's just not where you are. That's not how you talk. Doesn't mean they don't know the words. But I said, also, AI uses a lot of emojis. That's what you're doing. So I know you use emojis. You know, AI does that. I also know that you do not speak to me in using these words in this way. Yep. And you should just be happy with the fact that people know that you're unique. You can speak, what, 3-4 languages? And I can only speak one, and barely Spanish is, you know, like a third maybe of Spanish.
No, 100%.
Yeah. So I feel like some of the things that we might be seeing in your industry, well, just in healthcare in general, is like X-ray vision goggles that doctors put on, and they can just scan my body and they could see something that's wrong instead of having to go in and have an MRI or maybe even, you know, some kind of a X-ray.
That X-ray would be vision. Unbelievably amazing, I'm sure.
I bet it's out there.
Let's say it's created in the next 5 to 8 years, something of that nature, but the expense tied to that is probably going to be astronomical
for a while.
But that would be excellent, you know, to be able to get away from X-rays.
Yeah,
that's what we rely on for specificity of what we're doing, as I was talking before. But if there's a, you know, they've digitized X-rays, so now you don't have to go. I used to have to go into the dark room to, I'd take the X-rays. You'd have to go into the dark room, put the film in the tank. So now they've digitized it to where you take the X-ray, it goes right onto the computer.
Mm-hmm.
Great. But what can they do better to not expose people so much? Can they create some type of scan overall goggles, you know, where it just does one body scan, or even a computer you stand in front of, or a TV or something, and it just scans everything and it boom just pops out some,
you know,
type of imaging.
There's an app. I haven't used it because I also do not believe I should accept all of the terms and conditions of everything out there, because I think we keep chipping away at giving whoever you know information about us that they don't need to have.
Accept.
So, but there is an app. It does a scan of your body, and it can tell you what your body mass is and how long it would take you to get to the weight that you're wanting to do. And it says, this is how long it'll take you. This is what you should do. And it does it like this.
Yeah. So, I mean,
so it's out there.
It is out there in the iPhones now, mm-hmm. or the, you know, the, those, not the iPhones, the iWatches, the watches, the digital watches that, link
Apple Watch,
your phone,
right?
Yeah, the Apple Watch. It links to your phone, but they have different variations of that based on the type of phone that you have, or the server that, or the company that you use. It tracks your sleep, it tracks your heart rate, it can contact 911 if it thinks you're having a heart attack.
Right.
Like it takes, my buddy was showing me this, it can do an EKG, you know, how accurate it is, I don't know. It seems pretty accurate, but it tracks your REM sleep, like when you're sleeping.
I have one. I tested it, and I don't use it all the time because I just want the white noise. But I was getting all of these pieces of data about myself, and I went, well, I never thought I snored, but apparently I do.
Yeah. So, I mean, all that technology is very, very interesting. I mean, it's pretty wild. And who knows where it goes? I mean, I'm never 100% right about everything. So it's like, you know, by 2030, who knows? I mean, we could have some crazy stuff out there, but I do like the human aspect. I'm not going to lie. I'm a people person, and I think a lot of people out there are. So I think they probably agree with me.
Mm-hmm. I think so. There's apps that can tell you if you're inclined to have dementia, Alzheimer's, all kinds of stuff that's out there. That Parkinson's, I saw one that's also doing some predicting if you could possibly be at risk for Parkinson's.
And the cool thing about that is they're making you aware of how to be proactive,
mm-hmm.
and not reactive, proactive. So I love all these little aspects about things. And I think that's going to definitely improve. And there's going to be a lot of different positive outcomes from these stuff.
It goes to what you said earlier, not healthcare, but healthy
care, proactive care, not reactive care, not crisis care. That's what everybody has to try to understand. I mean, if there's one thing that, you know, that you hear me say tonight, is just to take better care of your health. Mm-hmm. You've got one body to use your entirety of your life. If you had one car to drive, how well would you take care of that car?
Mm-hmm.
Your entire life. You've got one body.
Mm-hmm.
Take care of it. So, you know, be proactive. And you're going to have the tools in the future, as we're talking about, to be able to do that.
Do you see a lot of this type of technology coming into the trade shows that you go to?
Yeah. Every year you see something new, different. Some of it's gimmicky and some of it's effective.
Mm-hmm.
But you're always going to have that. But it's, you know, this laser therapy now is pretty interesting. It's designed to reduce inflammation, and it used to just be kind of more on the surface for tendonitis and things like that, little skin issues. Now it's going deep into the, you know, into the spine to try to reduce some of these inflammation from these disc problems that people have.
And
So you see that technology increasing a lot. Like I said, the digital world of imaging, you know, right now they're trying to make it easier on physicians to link into the sites to say, okay, the MRI was done, the x-rays were done here. You can look at it, you know, without having to worry about getting CDs and films and all that kind of stuff. But you see a lot of that, like a lot of people pushing that stuff. But, you know, there's a lot of other very cool things too that, you know, I just don't do in my clinic, but it's coming. I mean, mm-hmm. there's going to be more and more. Every year you're going to see something.
Yeah, I agree. So best mentoring, this is our last question. It's so hard to believe. Time flies. What is the best mentoring advice that you would like to share with our listeners?
So I've already talked a lot about my dad. He's just really been a guy that I've looked up to my whole life, let alone, you know, this career. And he's taught me everything when it comes to chiropractic care. I mean, a lot of things, let's just put it that way. When I was first in practice, and you come out of school, anybody coming out of school was, you know, is confident, but unsure, uncertain, mm-hmm. right? So, you know, we've got people walking into our clinic that he's just used to taking care of all the time. And I'm just kind of a little wet behind the ears. And I'm like, okay, you know, I know everything the book taught me to do. But he looked at me, and this was probably day one or day two. He said, look, you've passed all your boards, you've passed your classes, you've got the diploma on the wall, you've learned as much as you can from the book. You have to think outside of the box. In real clinical practice, you have to think outside of the box. That's how you're going to help people and fix people. And it's stayed with me to this day, and I tell people that all the time. So I stand by that statement, and I think if every doctor tries to think outside of the box, I think more patients can benefit from it.
Mm.
But that's...
That's, you know, wisdom.
Yeah, it is.
Yep.
But he, like I said, he is unbelievably wise, and I've learned a tremendous amount from him. It's really made my chiropractic career enjoyable, because I always have that confidence there that he can help me be better.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really neat.
You think your kids are going to go into this?
So I have a 16-year-old and 13-year-old, and the 13-year-old shows some interest. I don't think the 16-year-old really wants to. She might want some aspect of healthcare, but I don't think that's the route she wants to go down. Very intelligent, but my younger one is much more hands-on. She's very very street smart, very hands-on, not lazy. I think she would fit in well. The question is, you know, as the biggest roadblock, the biggest eliminator for a lot of people is, do you want to go through all that training and all that?
Yeah. Cool.
You know, but I think if she does, I think she'll be really good.
Oh, that's super cool. Well, how can our listeners contact you? We usually provide website. I found them, your social channels off of your website too, but go ahead and tell, because this is an audio show as well as a visual show, but how do we find you?
So pavlikchiropractic.com.
You might have to spell your last name.
P-A-V-L-I-K.
Okay.
Chiropractic.com. Our clinic is called the Pavlik Center for Health and Wellness. It's just too long of a domain name.
It is.
But pavlikchiropractic.com and Pavlik Health and or Pavlik Chiropractic on our Instagram and our Facebook page. pages, Pavlik Center for Health and Wellness on our Facebook page, but Pavlik is the key word, P-A-V-L-I-K.
If you
type that in, you know, you're going to find different, you know, we've tried to create as many names as we can to make it easy for people. But the reason we changed it to Pavlik Center for Health and Wellness from Pavlik Chiropractic is just because we do more than just chiropractic.
Yeah, you do.
And we don't want that, just that single stereotype. So,
yeah.
But, it's still our domain name as it's been for 25 years, I think.
We've had
chiropractic.com. Practice has been around since 1980, but whenever they actually created the website, I think was in 98, I don't know. But pavlikchiropractic.com was the original domain name that we got.
Well, and we also give your LinkedIn. So you said you're going to be more active on LinkedIn.
I'm going to do better.
Okay.
That's based on your motivation, I'm going to do better.
Okay. That sounds good. Well, I want to thank you so much for being on the show. This has been delightful. So we'll be getting Dr. J out here too.
Absolutely. I'd love to listen to him. And I always tell Dr. J since he was young, I said, you know, hey, let's do a video. Let's do this. Let's do that. And he was always a little hesitant, but he's becoming much more comfortable. So I think, you know, he's going to have a tremendous amount of knowledge as well.
Yeah.
From his perspective.
Oh, he does. He's really, really good. So, thank you so much.
I appreciate it.
Thank you to our sponsor, Cat 5 Studios. Our video editor is Max Stein. Our music is by Sophie Lloyd. Visit www.e4c.tech to learn how you can recruit, assess, and improve employee learning and your company culture through DEI skills, hiring, and learning. Become an E4C member today. Mention you listen to the show, and you may get the chance to become a guest on the Intern Whisperer podcast. You can support the Intern Whisperer by sharing, commenting, liking, and subscribing on YouTube or your favorite podcast streaming apps.